Well, good morning, church family. If we've not yet met, my name is Tracy Gorman, and my family and I have been coming to Crossroads. We've been members of Crossroads for about 18 years, and I'm also in my 18th year as president and CEO of Your Evansville Rescue Mission. And prior to that, I was a church pastor for about 20 years. And I just want to say how excited I am to be able to come today and to speak with you, to chat with you. Apparently, the word got out that I was preaching and everybody stayed home. But seriously, we hope that you are staying warm and that you're enjoying your time together as a family right where you are today. And before we jump right into the message, I'd certainly be remiss if I didn't say a gigantic thank you for your support of the Evansville Rescue Mission. Crossroads Church is one of our most faithful partners, and many, many, many of you watching this morning are donors and volunteers and supporters and friends of the mission, and for that, we are and I am truly grateful for all that you do. I want to let you know this. Last night, over 300 people found refuge and shelter in one of our facilities. And within the last 24 hours, over 1,000 meals have been served. And you're a part of that. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you. So today, I am honestly excited to talk about something that is both ancient and urgent. Something that has shaped revivals and has transform families and has shifted nations, but is often misunderstood and even neglected. And we're talking about prayer and fasting for purpose of a part of our 21-day series. And for the past 21 or 22 days, many in our church family have been spending a good amount of time in fasting and in prayer. We've been doing our best to get ourselves in the presence of Jesus in a posture of humility before our God. And now that we're almost on the other side of this, I think I can tell you what I gave up for these 21 days, what I abstained from. And honestly, it came down to okra and peanut butter. It did. And since I don't eat okra and I actually hate it, I decided it should probably be peanut butter because that's actually one of my favorite things in the entire world. Last month, we finished up with Christmas movies, and my wife and I love Christmas movies. And if you like the movie Elf, you'll know that he says that elves' four major food groups are candy, candy cane, candy corn, and syrup. Well, mine are peanut butter cookies, peanut butter and syrup, peanut butter and marshmallow cream. So giving up peanut butter for a few days really made a lot of sense to me. And each evening, about 8:15, when I normally have my peanut butter sandwich, I really did try to remember why I wasn't having it that night. And there were times, if I'm being honest, when that was fairly difficult, especially when I felt like the jar of Jif was calling my name. Thank the Lord I don't use psychedelics, or we could have had a real problem with a jar of talking Jif, right? Few things I've learned during this time is that prayer and fasting is not all about starving yourself to impress God. It's not about earning favor. Fasting is not some mystical or magical experience. And you know what else? It's not a spiritual hunger strike. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine saying, God, I'm not going to eat food again until you meet my terms and conditions for what I'm asking you for. I'm going to chain myself to this sofa in front of this new TV I got for Christmas, and I'm going to watch Hallmark Christmas movies 24/7 until you do what I want. My friends, I don't think that it works quite like that. See, prayer and fasting is about alignment. It's about dependence. It's about positioning ourselves so that God can do what only God can do. Have you found out yet that there are some things in life that only God can do? And have you found out that there are some things that he can only do when we let him do them? I have, and a lot of times I found that out the hard way, actually. See, friends, fasting and praying is more than some religious habit. It is. Think about this. Jesus assumed that his followers would pray. Jesus assumed that his followers would fast. He didn't say, if you pray. He didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you pray. And he said, when you fast. Over in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus makes it clear that some breakthroughs, and I want to be sure that we get this, some breakthroughs require more than casual faith. Some battles are not won with routine Christianity. For instance, some of Jesus' disciples, well, they were frustrated because they could not cast out a demon. And they came to Jesus to ask him why this was the case. Look at how this all unfolded in Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. It says, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, and this is a key part, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And what I hope that we'll see today is this. Some battles are not won by routine Christianity. A greater sacrifice and a greater commitment is sometimes required of us. Sometimes it takes more. Sometimes it takes believing more and giving more and trusting more. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about why prayer and fasting still matters. It still matters and how God uses it to move heaven and earth on our behalf. I want to talk to you about fasting for purpose. Look at what the Bible says about this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. It says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So on this snowy, sunny January morning, here are three truths about prayer and fasting for purpose that I hope that we can grab onto today. Number one, fasting for purpose shifts our focus from self to God. Let's start right here. Fasting does not change God. It changes us. Check this out. When we fast, we are intentionally saying, God, I want you more than I want comfort. Now, can we all agree, wherever we're at this morning, that food is one of our most basic needs? Well, I like to eat. Right after the holiday period we came through about a month ago, the fact that I like to eat shows up in a lot of forms. Tighter clothing. An unhappy experience on the scales, feeling like a beached whale, those kind of things. Can you relate to that? But I like to eat, especially donuts and chocolate cake and peanut butter cookies. You know, the healthy main food group stuff that we already talked about. And when you voluntarily set aside food or really anything honestly, really anything, even temporarily, we are declaring some extremely powerful things in the spiritual realm. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, "It is written in the scripture, a person lives not on bread alone, but by everything God says." See, my friends, fasting removes distractions. Fasting exposes dependence. Fasting reveals what really controls us in our lives. Many of us probably don't realize just how much of our lives are run by appetites. Not just food, but our appetites for entertainment, our appetites for approval, for control, for comfort, for acceptance, for ambition. It's actually, when you think about it, it's actually a very long list. When you fast purposefully, those appetites, they have a tendency to start to speak. Perhaps you'll notice a little bit of impatience. Maybe you'll recognize irritability, or maybe somebody in your house will recognize your irritability. There's a chance you'll see a bit of weakness poke its head in. And my friends, that's not failure, that's revelation. And revelation is a very good thing when the Lord gives that to us. Fasting for purpose shines a light on the places where we rely on ourselves instead of relying on God. Let me show you what I mean. In Ezra chapter 8, the people of God are about to make a dangerous journey. And as all this unfolds, Ezra could have asked the king to send along soldiers to help them. He could have relied on human protection. Look at the Bible says in Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. It says, "There by the Ahava Canal, I announced that we would all fast and deny ourselves before God. We would ask God for a safe trip for ourselves, for our children, all of our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from the enemies on the road. We had said to the king, 'Our God helps everyone who obeys him, but he's very angry with those who reject him.' So we fasted and prayed to our God about our trip, and he answered our prayers." See, they fasted because they knew that if God doesn't protect us, then nothing else will either. And church family, fasting is a way of saying, "God, you are my source. God, you are my strength. You are my safety. You are my protector. I trust you, God. I know that you have my back. I know you have my best interest at heart." See, some of us are probably anxious this morning because we're trying to control what only God can handle. And fasting helps us release control. When you fast, you're saying, "God, I trust you with my future." And that's not always easy. That's not always easy. It's not always easy for me. "God, I trust you with my family. God, I trust you with my health. God, I trust you with this big decision that I have to make in my life." You know those kind of decisions, those that keep you awake at night, those that you're thinking about quite regularly. We're saying, "God, I trust you with this decision I have to make." Prayer and fasting shifts our focus from what we want over to what God wants. All right, number two, fasting for purpose positions us for a spiritual breakthrough. Remember, Jesus said, "This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." This simply means this. And this is so good if we can grab onto this. It means some chains don't break with casual prayer. Some strongholds don't fall with surface level faith. Some answers require persistent, focused, sacrificial seeking. Prayer and fasting is not about volume. It's about depth. It's about wanting to go deeper with God. It's about wanting to have more of God in our lives. Back in Matthew chapter 17, the disciples, if you recall what we read, they're frustrated because they try to cast out a demon and they fail. What in the world is going on with this? They had authority. Jesus gave them authority. They had experience. They had seen miracles before. They had been right next to Jesus when he did great things time and time again. They had a front row seat. They saw it all happen. They saw it all unfold. But this time it didn't work. And they asked Jesus privately. They said, why couldn't we cast it out? What went wrong? Where did we mess up? Notice Jesus did not say, you didn't try hard enough. He didn't say, you didn't say the right words, or your prayers weren't very spiritually sounding. You didn't use thou or hast one single time in your prayer. What's up with that? No, he didn't say that. Instead, he said this, it's because of your unbelief. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. See, Jesus was teaching them, and he's teaching us this morning, I really believe this, that spiritual power flows from spiritual intimacy. You cannot live disconnected from God all week. And what I'm getting ready to say to you, I've been here and I've done this. You cannot live disconnected from God all week and yet expect authority from him when you're in a crisis situation. That's not going to happen. It's not going to work. Fasting clears the spiritual static of our lives. It heightens our awareness. It deepens our discernment. It indeed strengthens our spiritual authority. When you fast for purpose, prayer becomes more focused. And I found that to be the case over these last 21 days. Worship becomes more intense. Scripture becomes more alive. It just seems like it jumps off the pages and we see it and it affects our lives in such a powerful way. And this is not because all of a sudden God shows up. It's because you finally slow down to notice that he's right there at work in your life, meeting your needs, carrying your burdens when you'll let him, because he is absolutely by your side if you are his child. He's there. He's there with you. He's there helping you. Over in Acts chapter 13, the early church experienced this very thing. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. It says, while they were there worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, notice the order. They were worshiping. They were fasting. Then God spoke. See, I believe that some of us are asking God to speak, but we haven't yet created space to listen. And I believe that prayer creates that space. When I was growing up, my home was a bit messy. My dad was a great guy, but he had a lot of issues that absolutely wrecked his life for so much of his life. He was in prison. He drank too much. He was unfaithful to my mom more time than once. And I remember standing beside the door to their room and seeing my little mom kneeling beside their bed, praying for Jesus to save my dad's life. I remember knowing that she fasted for him to come to Jesus. I was 15 years old the first time that I preached in our church. And that night, my dad came to support me. I really don't remember much what I said, and that's not even important, but I do remember what happened that night. My dad gave his heart to Jesus, and I've never seen a more radical transformation in my life than happened with my dad. The drinking stopped. The cheating stopped. He spent the rest of his days serving Jesus, loving my mom, and loving his family. My friends, my mom's prayers paid off. Her fasting was absolutely worth it. I saw then what God could do for John Gorman, and I knew then that if God can save him, and if God can change his life, he can do that for everyone. And that's one of the reasons why I love my job so much. I get to see that kind of radical transformation in people's lives every day. What a joy and what a privilege that is for me to see that. That is the kind of God that we serve. So what breakthrough are you seeking? What breakthrough are you praying for? Is it a prodigal child? Is it for your spouse to come to Jesus? Is it freedom from addiction? Is it healing in your body? Is it direction for your future? Is it revival for your spiritual life? Is it freedom from a terrible boss? Hopefully no one from the Evansville Rescue Mission is checking that box this morning. But what is it that you're praying through? What breakthrough are you seeking? See, some breakthroughs are unlocked when we say, God, I am willing to go deeper with you. God, I want to go deeper with you. I'm not satisfied with the status quo. I'm not happy where things are. I want things in my life to be deeper. I want to have a deeper relationship. And finally, number three, fasting for purpose releases God's power through humility. See, at its very core, fasting is an act of humility. It says, God, I cannot do this on my own. I can't. Scripture is clear on this. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And my friends, fasting for purpose places us in a posture where grace can flow freely and where heaven can come down and meet us right where we are. When we fast, we're not impressing God, we're inviting him. We're acknowledging our utter and total dependence on him. We're saying, God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your mercy. We're saying, God, I need your power in my life. I want your power in my life. And my friends, when we fast and when we pray, we submit ourselves to God, believing. Check this out, believing that the King of the universe is listening. And that he is able to hear our requests. It's knowing that he is able to accomplish his will in our lives. It's realizing that he is alive and well and at work this very moment. Oh, I love that. This very moment, today. Our pastor and a group of people from Crossroads have been in Israel this past week or so. What an awesome experience to walk where Jesus walked. To see many of the things that Jesus saw, it's just life-changing. I've been there. I've experienced that. I've stood in the tomb where Jesus was laid, and I can personally testify to you this January morning that he absolutely, unequivocally is not there. He is risen. He is alive and well this morning. He is listening to us. He is not dead. He did not stay in that tomb. Up from the grave, he arose. And this very morning, you can be assured that he is listening, that he hears you, that he sees you, that he knows you by name. Isn't that the greatest news in the world? The King of the universe knows you by name. And when you pray and when you fast for purpose, you are simply acknowledging that you cannot do this on your own. You need God's help. You want to be in a place where he can truly help you. See, the goal of fasting is not to suffer and starve. It's not. But rather, the goal is seeking God, seeking more of God, seeking to go deeper with God. If you fast and don't pray, you're just hungry. If you pray and don't listen, you're just talking. If you fast and pray and nothing changes because you don't expect to change, you might have just wasted your time. And church family, I believe that God is inviting us to go deeper with him this year. I believe he's calling his children to not be satisfied with the status quo, but to go deeper than we've ever gone before. And today I want to challenge you not with guilt, but with expectation. If you seek him, you'll find him. If you humble yourself, he will lift you up. If you will draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And I believe this with all of my heart and every fiber of my being. And as we wrap up this series and this special emphasis on prayer and fasting, what a great time this has been. I've loved it. I've loved every part of it. I've missed Jif, but I've loved every part of this series.
I want to truly ask you, what has been the purpose of this whole thing, this whole time, for you? What are you praying for? Who are you praying for? I'll ask it again. Is it a lost or wayward child or spouse or a loved one? Do you need to be healed, or are you praying for someone else to be healed? Are you praying and fasting for things to change at work? What is it? Who is it? And I want to give you the opportunity this morning to bring whatever or whoever it is for whom you've been fasting, bring it to Jesus. And you can do that right where you're at. Bring it to Him and leave it with Him. Trust Him to continue to help you. Make a commitment that just because this emphasis may be over, your commitment to seek His face, it's only just beginning. This is not the end. This is the start. The start of something very, very special. See, this morning, I know this. Jesus is your friend. He wants to help you, and He wants to meet your needs. So I invite you this morning, bring your needs to Him. Leave them with Him. Let Him help you through. Lord Jesus, thank You that we have such a wonderful friend in Jesus. You are so good to us. You meet our needs right where we are. And this morning, whether we're in a living room or wherever it is that we're listening to this message or watching this message, I pray, Father, that right where we are, we will bring these people, these requests to You. Leave them with You. Let You be God. Let You work in their lives. Oh, we're so grateful. So grateful that You are our friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.